Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to return to a passage that I've been preaching on the last few weeks in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 2. And this is concerning the subject of reconciliation. Now, I began this last week. Last week was reconciliation part 1. And then today is reconciliation part 2, which I'll conclude this chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. And what the Apostle Paul was talking about is basically that every true believer, those to whom God has been reconciled and are reconciled to one another, there's peace. That word reconciliation means peace made on a common ground. Peace between God and sinners. I mentioned this last week, how there's peace vertically. That means God and sinners. Peace made between God and sinners. And then peace horizontally, the fellowship of faith, peace among brethren. And all upon a common ground. And what is that common ground? Well, the common ground is the merits of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, what the Bible teaches us is that the merits of Christ, His blood, His death on the cross, all that He accomplished in His obedience unto death, as God manifest in the flesh, as the surety of His people. He's the surety of His people. That means their sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him. As the substitute of His people, He took my place. He took our place on the cross. His people now, believers. Not talking about everybody without exception. He took our place on the cross and died the death that we earned and deserved and satisfied the justice of God. He paid the debt. He's the redeemer of His people. And that whole transaction that He accomplished, the merit of it, the value of it, the worth of it, is called the righteousness of God. That's what's preached in the gospel, Romans 1, 16 and 17, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also. And he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified shall live by faith, live by looking to Christ and resting in Him. And that righteousness of God is the ground of reconciliation. It's the work of Christ, the merits of Christ. See, God does not accept me or save me or bless me based upon any merit of my own. Salvation is by grace. It's totally undeserved, totally unearned. Now that applies to both Jew and Gentile. God's chosen people, spiritual Israel among the Jews and among the Gentiles. And He's brought them together in Christ to the point that in Christ, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as justification, righteousness is concerned, as far as having a right relationship with God is concerned, being a Jew or a Gentile, being circumcised or uncircumcised, has absolutely nothing to do with it. It is totally a matter of God's grace and mercy, unconditional love to His people in Christ. And so it says in verse 18, now this is Ephesians 2 and verse 18, it says, for through Him, through Christ, we both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Now, how do we have access unto the Father by the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, showing us our unworthiness, showing us the fact that we cannot do anything to earn or deserve God's grace or God's blessings. And He drives us to Christ as the one mediator between God and men, Jew and Gentile, the man Christ Jesus. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's the God-man who died for the sins of His people, both Jew and Gentile. And that's what the word world means when it talks about that God has reconciled the world unto Himself. We dealt with that last week. It's not talking about everybody without exception. It's talking about all who are eventually, by God's grace and power, brought to faith in Christ. Do you believe in Christ as He's identified and distinguished in the Word of God? Do you rest on His finished work? Or are you looking to a Christ who tried to save everybody but can't unless they let Him? That's a false Christ. So, look at verse 19 of Ephesians 2. Now, they've all been reconciled to God by one ground, the blood of Christ. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Now, he's talking to the Gentile believers here. At one point in time under the Old Covenant, for 1,500 years, generally speaking, the Gentiles were strangers and foreigners. They were outside the covenant. But now, because of what Christ did, because of the accomplished work of Christ, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but, now listen to this, fellow citizens with the saints. That means you're just as much a saint as a saved Gentile. A Gentile saved by grace is just as much a saint as any saved Jew. What is a saint? A sinner saved by grace. Now understand that. People have the idea that a saint is some special Christian who's done some special things or done some miracles and he's got to be canonized by the... That's a lie. I've heard people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm no saint. Well, if you're a Christian, you are a saint. The word saint means sanctified one. And sanctified means set apart. And the Bible says that God has sanctified His people in Christ. They're set apart. They were set apart by God Himself before the foundation of the world when God chose them and gave them to Christ. God justified them. That's what He did. They were set apart by Christ on the cross when He died for them. He died for His sheep. Not all without exception, His sheep. They were set apart redemptively. He redeemed them. And they're set apart by the Holy Spirit, sanctification by the Spirit, when they are born again and called out of the world and into the fold, the sheepfold, the church, by the preaching of the gospel, where God gives them the gift of faith and repentance and keeps them in His family. That's what a saint is. It's not some special super Christian. Let me put it to you this way, put it in perspective. The thief on the cross, who was converted by God in the last hours of his life, was just as much equally a saint as the Apostle Paul, who God used several years of his life to establish churches and preach the gospel and write probably half or more of the New Testament. So understand that sainthood is not something you earn or deserve or something that you've done special. Sainthood is salvation of sinners by the grace of God. And being fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God means you're a full-fledged member of God's family. You're a citizen, just as much a citizen with all the rights and privileges of a citizen of the kingdom of God. You've been brought into the kingdom. You've been saved by His grace. You've been justified by His righteousness imputed. You've been born again by the Spirit. You look to Christ. You rest in Christ. You have a struggle now with the flesh and the Spirit. I know that. But you're still a full-fledged, equal member of the household and family of God, a child of God. If you're a Jew who believes, that's great. If you're a Gentile who believes, that's great too. But the Jew who believes is no more qualified and no more privileged than the Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all spiritual Jews, the Scripture tells us, fellow citizens. Look at Romans chapter 2. And look at verse 28. Paul writes here in Romans 2 and 28, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." You see, men look at these distinctions of Jew and Gentile and they praise it, but God doesn't. And this circumcision of the heart is the new birth. It's the cutting away the filth of the flesh, the thoughts and the ideas of salvation because I'm somebody or I'm descended from Abraham or I've been circumcised or I keep the... No, that's repented of. That's cut away the filth. That's the filth of the flesh. Any idea that I'm saved or kept saved or glorified based upon who I am or what I've done. No, the circumcised heart is the faithful heart, is the repentant heart. And so that's who a Jew is. I'm a spiritual Jew. Physically speaking, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. But spiritually speaking, I'm a Jew because my heart's been circumcised. I've been born again by the Spirit. How do I know? I look to and rest in Christ. His blood and righteousness for my whole salvation. And then look over at Romans chapter 9 in verse 6. Now what Paul's doing here, he's answering the question of the problem that the Lord back in the Old Testament through the prophet said that Israel shall be saved. All Israel, Paul said in Romans 11. But the majority of the physical nation of Israel, the Jews, died in unbelief, and only a remnant was saved. So how do you answer that, Paul? Was God's promise not of effect? Did God not keep his promise? In verse 6, he says in Romans 9, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect." It's not as though God went back on his word or couldn't complete what he promised. For here's your answer. "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." The name Israel means those who have prevailed with God. Who prevails with God? Only those who come to him in Christ. And he says in verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children." Just because they're physical descendants of Abraham doesn't mean that they're all children of God. "But in Isaac shall thy seed be called." That's a direct reference to Christ. And he says in verse 8, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." What does he mean by that? He means those who are in Christ are the seed. That's spiritual Israel. Let me show you one more verse in that vein. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writes here, "But God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In other words, because I'm glory and boast in the cross, in the glorious person, in the finished work of Christ, that separates me from the world, the unbelieving world. In verse 15, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation." Whether you're physically circumcised or not, that has nothing to do with whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. But are you a new creature? Have you been born again by the Spirit? Are you in a state of grace? by the blood of Christ. God reconciled to you and you reconciled to God based upon His righteousness alone imputed to you and received by faith. In verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, this teaching, this doctrine. What rule? God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of Christ. Peace be on them. God's been reconciled to them and they've been reconciled to God. And mercy. God has been merciful to them and upon the Israel of God. That's not talking about national Israel. That's talking about those who walk by that rule, which is the gospel. God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, that I should have confidence or assurance, except in one thing, the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness alone. Now go back to our text. That's what reconciliation is. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Those who've been reconciled to God based upon the blood of Christ. His righteousness imputed. And being in that family, we are made one new man, as Paul said back in Ephesians 2:15. And Jew or Gentile has nothing to do with it. We're no more strangers and foreigners. But he says we're fellow citizens, verse 19 of Ephesians 2, with the saints. That means I'm a saint too. And of the household of God, the family of God. That's sinners saved by grace. And look at verse 20. He says, and built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, what is the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Well, he's not saying that the apostles are mediators to whom we pray or the prophets. We don't pray through Paul or James or John or Isaiah or Jeremiah. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other mediators. Mary is not a mediator. You know, the Catholics, they pray to Mary. That's idolatry. Mary was a special woman, but she was still a sinner saved by grace. And that's what the Lord meant, you know, when Mary, his earthly mother, came with his half-brothers to seek him out, and he was preaching, and they sent someone into him to say, now, your mother and your brothers are out here. And he made this statement. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He says, them that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, he's showing my spiritual family is not an earthly family. It's a spiritual family, a heavenly family. And Paul's describing it right here, the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints, made so by Christ. So when he says we're built, this church, this one new man, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, what is he talking about? He's talking about the word of God in the gospel. What the apostles preached. What the prophets preached. And what did they preach? They preached salvation by God for sinners, Jew and Gentile, by God's grace, by God's mercy. That's what they preached. Paul made the statement back in Galatians chapter 1. He said, if they come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached, let them be anathema. You see, if you preach another gospel, which means literally another of a different kind, which is no gospel at all, Paul said, different from what Paul preached, from what John preached, from what James and Andrew and all Peter, what they preached, you're not building, whatever you're building is not the household and family of God, and it's not based upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. All the prophets pointed Israel to the future concerning Christ, the coming of the Messiah, to establish the one and only righteousness upon which God would save and justify and forgive sinners. Jeremiah called him the Lord our righteousness. Isaiah spoke of him as the suffering substitute, the servant in Isaiah 53. And he spoke of him as the righteousness that God brings near. All the Psalms, the whole Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi is all about Christ. It's all a testimony to the sinnerhood of man, our sin and depravity, and the impossibility of salvation by our works. And it's a testimony that the only way of salvation is of the Lord by His power and His grace based upon the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. So when He says, you're built, verse 19, this new built, verse 20, this church, this new man, Jew and Gentile, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the word of reconciliation that we read about last time in 2 Corinthians 5. For God, for He, that is the Father, made Him, that is God the Son, incarnate Christ, to be sin for us, sin imputed to Him, the sins of His sheep, the sins of His church, the sins of God's elect were charged to Him. Christ, who knew no sin, He was not a sinner, not made a sinner, not corrupted by our sins, but He had sin legally imputed to Him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, have His righteousness imputed to us. And so, verse 20 of Ephesians 2, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ is the foundation of the church. He told Peter and the apostles, He said, upon this rock I will build My church. He wasn't talking about Peter. He's talking about Himself and the work that He would do. That's the foundation. He's the foundation of the church. He's the rock, Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And He's the chief cornerstone of the church. Which means this, everyone is to be measured and fit into the building according to Him, who He is. You see, that's why we talk about Christ is the Lord our righteousness. I cannot measure up to the perfection of righteousness of the law, because that can only be found in Christ, and I'm made righteous in Him, His righteousness imputed to me. I have no righteousness of my own. I'm in the family of God. I'm fitly framed in this house that Christ has built by His righteousness. The bricks of it held together, somebody said, by His blood. That's the mortar. And it's all by Christ. And see, I measure up not by my works, not by my faith. I measure up by Him having His righteousness imputed to me. And that's the standard of judgment. When God says that He's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead, Acts 17:31. So it's all in Christ, the chief cornerstone, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That's the church. Christ is calling His people out. And He's setting them in this holy temple, which is where God resides in spirit and in His word, in whom the building fitly framed. It's fitly framed. Everybody's right in the place where God puts them. And there's always trouble, you know, when somebody says, well, I don't like my place. I want to be over here. Well, verse 22 says, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, this is reconciliation. This is peace vertically between God and His people, made by the blood of Christ, His righteousness. And this is peace horizontally within the household, the family of God, the city of God, again, made so by the blood of Christ. And so that's what He's talking about here. This is the church. It's the church of the living God. It's made up of all kinds of people. All, you know, we say all races of people. You know, the Bible only mentions, only recognizes one race, the human race. There are different skin pigmentations, but that doesn't mean anything. Even the separation between man and woman. Now listen, we're always to recognize that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. I know they're trying to do away with that, but God doesn't. But what he says is when it comes to salvation and being a fellow citizen in the kingdom of God with the saints, being a saint in the household of God, those distinctions mean nothing. Those distinctions are totally have no bearing upon a right relationship with God, upon righteousness, whether or not I'm a righteous person or not. Now, God does recognize those distinctions, especially between man and woman. He's given certain offices in the church to men and certain to women, and man's to have the authority over the woman, all of that. We're not to do away with those things because God hasn't done away with them. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being justified, my sins forgiven, being righteous in God's sight, when it comes to being a saint, when it comes to having all the rights and privileges of a true child of God, the blessings of salvation, none of those distinctions have any bearing. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so understand that. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the Word of God. That's the whole issue of our oneness. Looking to Christ, resting in Christ, having our confidence in Christ, following Christ in His Word, together as fellow citizens, saints in the household and family of God. Built upon that foundation, the Word of God in Christ, the glorious person, and the finished work of Christ. That's our reconciliation to God, and that's our reconciliation to one another. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.